Track 6. I began last week's sports news bemoaning the lack of local news, as both Stourbridge's soccer and rugby teams had had their weekend matches postponed as a result of the weather. It's not greatly different this time. Glass Boys, the football team, were idle for the second Saturday in a row last weekend. As for their rugby counterparts, well, I expect they wish the heavens had opened on them as well. On Saturday, it was Sale 29, Stourbridge 0. This match got off to a poor start for Stourbridge, who found themselves 7 points down after only a couple of minutes. But far worse was to follow when the referee brandished his red card at second row forward Chad Thorne after an off-the-ball incident. An injury to one of the team's front row, which meant he had to leave the field for treatment, didn't help, and Stourbridge, battered from pillar to post, really had little chance to achieve anything from the match. Yet they battled to the end, all of their players gave 100%, and they managed to prevent Sale from scoring their fourth try, and thus ensuring an extra bonus point, until the dying moments of the match. A scoreline of 29-0 hardly did them justice. They've dropped to third place in the league with six fixtures remaining until the end of the season, four of these matches being at home, starting this Saturday with a visit by Sheffield Tigers, postponed a couple of Saturdays ago due to the weather. As far as the international rugby scene is concerned, I'm talking about the Six Nations contest, the competition has turned on its head. All the confident talk of England settling the championship on the final day, this coming Saturday, when Ireland are due to visit Twickenham, well, what's happened to that? Already severely holed below the waterline on their visit to Murrayfield 10 days ago, England were sunk without trace when they were outthought and outplayed by France in Paris on Saturday. By that stage, Ireland had anyway almost made certain of the Six Nations title by earning the bonus point win against the Scots in Dublin earlier in the afternoon, and they've been the outstanding team in the tournament who thoroughly deserve the title. They're not flashy, not flamboyant, just a very good, workmanlike side who play to their strengths. I've also been impressed by the Welsh side in this tournament. I don't think many people fancied them before the tournament began, but they've thrashed Scotland and then Italy on Sunday, made England look fairly ordinary at Twickenham despite losing the match, and with this weekend's final fixture to come, they are currently second in the Six Nations League table. I'm just hoping that Scotland can rescue something from this year's tournament by achieving a bonus point win over Italy in Rome on Saturday, but I'm not betting on it. Coming back to soccer, while the disappointment at the postponement of Stourbridge's fixture against Matlock up in the Peak District on Saturday will have upset a few, the big fixture of the weekend was always going to be Villa versus Wolves in the Championship, and that did not disappoint, especially if you're a Villa fan. They won 4-1 and accentuated the mounting anxiety Wolves followers must be feeling since their once seemingly invincible team has now lost four out of their last five league fixtures. Villa scored first, Wolves soon equalised, but the second half belonged to the Villa, whose three unanswered goals secured the points. Villa, third in the league table, are involved in an intriguing tussle with Fulham, who are 1 point behind them in fourth place and are another side enjoying a late season surge. Only the top two are assured of automatic promotion without going through a playoff, and Villa might have hoped for a bit of help from Blues, that's Birmingham City, who were away from home against second place Cardiff City on Saturday. No such luck, however. Blues lost that match by 3-2. And it was not quite as close as the scoreline might suggest. Their second goal only came in the fifth minute of injury time. Meanwhile, Albion and their supporters must by now have given up just about all hope of remaining in the top flight of English soccer next season. Crushed 4-1 at home by Leicester City on Saturday, Albion are 8 points adrift of safety in the Premier League table, with only 8 matches remaining. And it's nearly as clear-cut at the top of the Premier, where Manchester City sail on untroubled. Another one win on Monday night, putting them 16 points clear at the top, with only 8 league matches left this season. Another couple of wins should see them already declared champions. Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, did finally return to action last night, Tuesday, with a visit to Buxton, and they returned home with a 1-1 draw. Veteran striker Leon Broadhurst scored their goal just after half-time, but the home side replied with a penalty shortly thereafter, and that was that. Stop press at the end of my report last week was of an England Cricket 11 defeat in their one-day series in New Zealand, leaving the countries tied on 2 matches each with 1 left to play. There were 3 terrific batting performances in that match, 2 from England, for whom Joe Root and Bairstow made hundreds. Unfortunately, almost everyone else in the English team was out in single figures. England's total of 335 for 9 looked a winning one, especially when New Zealand were 2 for 2 at the start of their reply. But a magnificent 181 not out by Taylor, who featured in a fourth wicket stand of almost 200 with Latham, who made 71, ensured the home country won the match by 3 wickets with 3 balls of the 50 overs remaining. Then it was on to Christchurch for the 5th and deciding match of the series, and as rather an anticlimax, England won quite easily. New Zealand batted first on this occasion. Taylor, their batting hero from the previous game, was missing from the squad, and the rest never really got going. New Zealand were all out for 223, and England, led by Johnny Bairstow, who's been in magnificent batting form in recent matches, secured an easy win by 7 wickets, requiring only 33 overs to do so. But what's this I see? Scotland jointly topping the table with Zimbabwe in the 2019 World Cup qualifying competition that I also mentioned last week. This is the event that features cricket's lesser lights trying to qualify for next year's World Cup, which will take place in England. Having already beaten Afghanistan and Hong Kong, the Scots went on to a 4-wicket win against Nepal. Then, in their final group match, they achieved that rare thing in cricket, a tied match against Zimbabwe. Both sides were all out for a total of 210 runs. There were 10 countries taking place in this qualifying tournament, split into 2 groups of 5. The top 3 in each group, which includes the unbeaten Scots, now move on to a second stage where these best 6 also play each other. The top 2 after that will be in next year's World Cup competition. With spring in the air, well, hopefully, it won't be long before the 2018 Formula One motor racing season fires off the starting grid. The season opener, as usual, will be the Australian Grand Prix at Melbourne on Sunday week, March the 25th. Messrs Hamilton and Bottas will line up once again as the two Mercedes drivers, the former hoping to repeat his 2017 feat as driver's champion, while his teammate has been quoted as saying that he hopes he can finish ahead of Hamilton in this year's driver's championship. All the Formula One teams last week completed a fortnight's testing at the Barcelona circuit, although even as far south as that, the horrendous cold weather, the beast from the east as it was called, had struck and restricted the first week. Apparently, the Mercedes team drove more practice laps than any of the others and appear to have been satisfied with what they learned. The fastest lap recorded in practice was achieved by Sebastian Vettel for the Ferrari team, but with so many combinations of types of tyre and tyre pressure during the testing period, that may not have been very significant. The general opinion among observers seems to have been that the big three of Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull will again be the leading contenders in the coming season. Well, we'll soon begin to get an idea when the real competition gets going, and I hope to keep listeners up to date as the season unfolds. However, once again, the sports desk has run out of time, and that's all the news this week. I usually say I'll be back with you next time, but I'm about to enjoy a week off, so my next effort will be in a fortnight's time. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.